26 minutes after 11 p.m. This is Black Knight Meditations, WSCA 106.1. You're listening to Firewind, a track called SKG from the latest record, Days of Defiance. Saw Firewind recently in Hampton Beach, New Hampshire, part of the Frets of Fury tour. That was the local New England stop for that show. White Wizard, Night Rage, and who else was on the bill? White Wizard, Night Rage, and Arsis. Obviously, we were all there to see Firewind. And they did not disappoint. Of course not. How could they? Just great musicianship. I give the guys credit for really doing a killer set list because they mixed it up with a lot of the new stuff. I'd say about half of the last two records, but they did mix it up with old stuff as well. I think they covered pretty much every album. They obviously opened up with Ark of Lies, going into Head Up High. They pretty much stuck to the same set list they have been this whole tour. The only difference is Apollo... introduced Kill to Live as the third song, and actually was supposed to be played fourth. So they did Kill to Live, then Destination Forever, Angels Forgive Me, which had a really cool synth solo by Bob. It was really, really cool. And Angels Forgive Me is one of my favorite tracks by the band. So they did World on Fire, Fire in the Fury, Heading for the Dawn, Mercenary Man, SKG, which you're hearing now, Till the End of Time, I Am the Anger, Into the Fire, and of course, Falling to Pieces. I interviewed Bob, had a blast. You're going to hear that interview right now.
So anyway, interview.
So you think Firewind appeals to everybody in metal? Because I think everybody can find a little something. There's the shred there, obviously. There's the power metal, the traditional stuff. And
even the brutal metal guys can use our music to, you know, for compilation tapes to the girlfriends.
Right.
Or, they want to hit on different kind of, you know, they can just use Maniac, the cover we did. So, you know, It's like, look, I'm going pop too.
We played Maniac quite a bit. I had it on here Tuesday night. I played Maniac.
Oh, really?
Because we've been promoting the show coming up. I'm like, you know, I'm going to put Maniac on the air. I'm going to be the one guy out in the crowd going, Maniac, Maniac. And they're not going to play it, but I'm going to be screaming it anyway.
No.
See, you're not going to play it. Oh, come on.
We used to play it. I know. Guess suddenly one snow.
But I mean, people in America
it's more serious now. It's Frets of Fury stuff.
Right. Ah, come on, Maniacs. You know, that's serious. Well,
more things could have been done with this song. You know, look at Killswitch Engage. They did Holy Diver.
Right.
And so much reputation. All these bands with the covers.
Yeah.
It was just a matter of how our label took advantage. Didn't take advantage of this.
Well, it was
jam, you know what I mean.
Right, exactly. It was very faithful to the original.
Right,
it was very faithful to the original.
But it sounded metal at the same time.
It's a Grammy nominated song.
Absolutely.
You know?
I used to listen to that song on the radio so much in '83 because I love that. I own that song. I still to this day.
Yeah,
I've always been a fan
I'm
of Maniac
too.
So when we got the record. And actually, I think you might have had it before me because I remember listening to you on air one day and you were saying, like, you saw the title and you're like, I wonder if this is that Michael Zimmer. And it was! And I'm like, Firewind was a Maniac? Really?
That was my idea, actually.
It was your idea.
I was on the studio in Sweden. And then I was, you know, I came, you know, last of the studio. Everybody was always already there, you know, recording and stuff. And I was like, oh, welcome, Bob. So we're working on some covers. And I was like, well, I don't like this and that. Oh. You're smart ass, you know, tell us your opinion. I say, listen to this. And I say, YouTube, and then Gus, that's it. Gets the guitar, goes back, and then he starts recording on click.
Right.
He did it. He told me then, okay, Bob, make the keys. In a couple of hours, it was ready.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool.
Sounds like Firewind too.
Yeah. Well, I was gonna say is that it does not sound out of place on the record.
Yes.
It does not. I mean, when you
the keyboard sounds and then the guitar.
Exactly.
You know, and
the fact that you're able to make it sound like a song that belongs to the record, not a cover song, yet keeping it faithful to how the original sounded. Because Michael Cimbello, he wrote a great song, very catchy tune, and then you guys made it sound like your
very
song.
Very interesting music-wise. Has some strange chords.
Hey, it's. Yeah. Awesome tune, and I will be yelling it out there. I'll be the guy.
Yeah.
That will be me. You won't play. Do a little keyboard intro for me. You know? Come on, throw me a bone. Right?
We try to stabilize what we are doing because Apollo just got on board, you know, because he missed the European leg of the tour.
Oh, he did.
You know,
right.
We had Mats Levén.
Oh, yeah.
No,
Mats, he was actually with Yngwie. With Yngwie.
We had this guy, this fantastic, amazing guy.
Yeah.
Totally pro and stuff. So we had our routine every day, you know, and now Polo just came in and he has to
stabilize some stuff. Adapt to it, right. How are
you
balanced?
If I play some different intro, it's going to be like,
throw him off a little bit.
So you weren't thinking that...
quick adapting.
Right. So you never felt at any time that, okay, we've been without Apollo for a little while. Maybe we'll stick with this Mats. Maybe we'll stick with Mats or Apollo. We don't need you anymore, you know. We're your replacement,
like
buddy.
This.
Your time is over.
It's not like this. It's not like, but you know, it's a band. I mean, everybody should follow, and not be very picky. You know what I mean? I mean, times are difficult. You know, he has a family. We don't. You know. Just have, house, my girlfriend and stuff like this. Nobody has kids and stuff. But on the other hand, the band is here. You should be here, dude. I mean, we understood. Back then, we were here with another singer, and then we came here with Apollo, and then almost we come here with Mats Levén. So people are gonna be like, people are tolerating what we've been doing these past years, just because the thing I told you in the beginning, mm-hmm. just because they wanna. They focus on the songs.
Right.
They like the songs, and they like the fact that it's a band driven by, you know, the guitarist, a particular guitarist. So they don't really care about all this, you know, who is who stuff. They like the songs. So if the songs are powerful, you know, that's why the cover songs in the cover bands exist. Mm-hmm. Nobody gives a shit about who's playing the song, but again,
they
Sweet Home
the
Alabama,
song.
And then everybody smiles because it's a good song.
Right.
You know, yep. That's the point. So, actually, the songs are really make us survive. Otherwise, you know, we change drummer like t-shirts. There's a new drummer today. Yeah.
Who do you have with you on drums?
It's Joe Nunez from Nightreads. He's... Yeah. And then last tour we had Marios from Nightreads. He's a cool friend of us. He was playing the bass for us, Cos Petros. Had a lot of problems and stuff, you know, he should be back home for a year, so he took his time off. I mean, if it was another band, people would have been, you know, like, oh, I mean, you know, come on, get serious, you know, form a band and then go out to tour, but still, we're here touring, people, you know, come and go, but the music is there, mm-hmm. The core of the band, I mean, like, that's G and me, now Petros is back. Apollo is coming back, you know, we try to survive, and I think it's only the good music that's helping us to be here, you know.
Right.
Well, on tour, you know, Firewind's, God, you guys have put out, I lost track of how many albums now, but it's been a while. I've been putting out albums for about 10 years. How do you put together a set list? I mean, obviously, you got to do the new stuff, of course.
We're not doing theater, unfortunately. We're not doing theater, so we don't have to make hard decisions like, how can we medley three songs in one and then...
But I mean, there's going to be people like...
It's everything there.
You know, like, I mentioned I would be yelling out Maniac, but I'll be yelling out Burning Earth, too. But it's like...
That is everything.
You know, how far, you know, do we dig deep? You know, do we...
The thing is, and what makes me very happy... I like the bands that are not stuck into the future. You know what I mean? I mean, sometimes a band has a hit and then it follows and it, you know, your career, mm-hmm. and then it's like haunting you. You know, like go ask Annihilator, go ask Jeff Water if he's happy.
Right.
He's not happy, this guy, because it's 20 years.
He hasn't played a show in his own country in 20 years.
Yes.
Much less America.
I know. And then he's forced to play these two fantastic albums, but he's only doing so with these two albums and a couple of songs from King of the Kill and stuff like this.
Well, yeah, but I mean, people know Annihilator. People think Annihilator, even myself. Never Land and Alice in Hell. I mean,
yes,
yes.
I wish I could do, we could do an album like Alice in Hell. But
great album,
then,
yeah.
It's not good to know that people are here for your past. No, we want people to be here for a present. That's what I appreciate in bands like, even Dream Theater is one of my favorite bands. Actually, my favorite band. And people are not there to listen to Pull Me Under, you know.
No.
Yeah, people are there to listen to the new songs. That's
right.
What I like in Firewind too.
Yeah.
People are here, you know, to listen to recent stuff. It's not like, it's only Between Heaven and Hell or, you know, Fire and the Fury.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do Fire and the Fury. But
I was going to say, you're going to do that one. Cause
this time we're going to do it like the whole of it, you know, like the extra acoustic part and stuff like this. Things turn out.
Because that's one of the songs I wanted to hear.
Yeah, it's also extended, so it's going to be cool. We have a lot of sports and stuff. Like, I have my keyboard sport out.
There's one song specifically that is probably my favorite song ever by the band, and it wasn't on the DVD. I'm thinking, are they really not playing Remembered live? Really? Seriously? If I go see these guys, they don't play it. Come on!
Yes. Hey, you know, sometimes it just happens. You just pick songs and then it's
out. You can't play everything.
Yeah, I get it.
But it's like, I mean, how can that not be considered?
That's the thing. Nobody ever mentions this song.
Really?
When we wrote the song, it was the opening. It was.
I was going to say, that's
the title track was opener.
That was going to be, that's like the perfect.
And then it was left behind. And that's good because maybe for us, we did better songs. So we said, okay. But, you know, that's what I told you. Some people, you know, take some songs and some people other songs. That's great. It's not like the obvious. That's what I don't like in the music. Like the obvious and then the rest songs. No, I hate this. I prefer to have 10 songs, like that level. You know, maybe sometimes some song is not that good, but then you have like 8 good songs. Which of them, 6 songs, make it. 6 songs is good percentage of an album, you know.
Right.
Usually the album's like 1-2 songs. All right? I mean,
right. They're playing.
It's usually pretty surprising.
Like the new Opeth album, it's no songs. Sorry.
But some people only do 2 or 3 off of their new one. So if you have 6 that you feel strong about, that's good.
I mean, I understand. Obviously, a band is on tour to support the album. Well, these days, you put out an album to support the tour. It's actually backwards these days. It seems like it's not anybody's records anymore.
Yes.
At least in America.
I think it's... Yeah, it's the business thing behind it, but I think it's a cool way of the things going. I mean, it's cool to have bands touring, because nowadays it's not enjoyable not to go, you know, it wasn't like before, you go to listen to the album, then your mate comes home, and then you listen to, no, it's not like this anymore. So, it's better, then you can go and watch the band, you know, playing live. That's a good thing from all this mess with the industry and, you know, the free music.
Right.
At least you get to see bands playing, you know, more and more. That's good.
Yeah, I mean, you lose album sales, but if anything, you're probably going to have more people wanting to come see it live.
And that makes you be double sales in live, you know, because that's a way to drag people's attention, you know. If you're supporting a band, then you have to be like, gonna give 200% because you are supporting, and then when you are headlining and you have, you know, newcomers underneath, then you have to be again double good to prove that you are here because you deserve it.
Right.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
So I want to ask you about you, not a band question, but a you question about
right.
you as a musician. Do you find that you are more of a kind of a me artist or a we artist? And what I mean by that is, when you take a look at, say, a band like Queensryche, they are a band that they do everything for themselves, and they put it out there. And if the fans like it, they like it. If they don't, they don't. But if you take an artist like Quorthon, who, you know, he was the main man behind Bathory, he was like more of a we artist, which is the fans wanted him to do certain kinds of music, so he would do it because that's what the fans wanted. Whereas somebody like Queensryche would never do that. They do what they want to do. So for you,
that's why it sounds like this now.
What I mean, right?
I mean, so I mean, do what the fans want from you?
I'm a we. Guy, you know.
So, we, so fans can influence what you write?
You know, I'm a PlayStation guy, but no. I'm a wee guy. I the thing that I have a lot of contact with fans and stuff. That's my minus as well. You know, but I have a contact with Facebook and stuff. People are telling me, you know, I have students, and the students come up to my house and they're like, oh, Bob, we like this. We hate this. Why did you do this? Why? And then I have my mind on the stuff. I mean, I'm like, what do people want, you know? But on the other hand, when you make the album, it's also the other guys in the band. So the next album is gonna be less I think it's gonna be something more experimental. Not experimental like using African percussions. It's gonna be experimental in the way that we might do something that people, you know, it's gonna be fire when totally, and the songs are fantastic. But yeah, really, the songs are very good. But if we want to do a different style of riffing, we're going to do it. It's not like, okay, like, because you know what? We did an extremely thing when we did the Embrace the Sun, the new video. We don't even play the song live because we felt like it was a made-up song. It wasn't. The song, we love the song, I mean, but we prefer to do something else live, you know what I mean? But it just ended up on the album, it's good.
You mean to keep the pace throughout, up, keep the pace
yeah,
up
I mean,
throughout
it's like,
the live set?
That's, whereas we named the song Let Fall Into Pieces Part 2, and the people, it looks like people want it, but in the end people don't want it. People want to see you progressing, you know, evolving. That's the thing. If you do the same song over and over again, it's not gonna happen. So it's good to listen to what people say. But then it's good to follow your instinct because then you're evolving. If you see that your instinct's taking you nowhere, you know, then maybe you change the name of the band and do something else. It's kind of a complicated question.
Well, what you were just saying about if you feel that you're doing something different, change the name of the band. I mean, do you think that Firewind has to stay within a certain realm?
That's
it can't go too far.
The thing is that we found the formula in Allegiance. That album made us think, look at some things like, oh, look, now we have this identity. It was like the keyboard-driven stuff, you know. The songs driven by keyboards like Falling to Pieces and Breaking the Silence stuff. Then it was the heavy riffing songs. Then in a Premonition, we established the sound. It's the keyboard songs and the riffing songs like Silent Code, Remembered, Into the Fire, you know. Now, and then we did Days of Defiance, which I think we, every song has its own identity. So, in the next album, we try to break these barriers, you know. It's gonna be more guitar, it's gonna be piano songs, you know what I mean? It's gonna be different. It's easy for us to do, you know, Allegiance Part 4, but we're not going to do it, you know. It's very easy, really.
Well, yeah,
we have songs in our drawer, you know.
I mean, and I don't know about worldwide, but I can say in America, Allegiance is really where people started to know the Firewind
yeah,
name. I mean, that's where they would establish you in this country,
that's true,
Allegiance,
that's true.
You know.
It has to do with the labels and stuff, you know. We moved on, to Century Media. This was for Forged by Fire, but maybe things, it wasn't so much teamwork there. Then in Allegiance, it was, you can listen to more voices of the band, you know. Everybody was involved, then this album came out. Do you like the new album, Woody?
you know, the new album, Jim and I have talked about this, and I told him we were big fans of Premonition, obviously, and I said, Days of Defiance, I don't like as much as Premonition.
Yeah, makes sense.
Song-wise, it's not because I wanted Premonition 2, but what I do like about it more than I like about the Premonition is the production. Because I like how Days of Defiance... Yeah, you know why? Because it's a little...
It's awesome.
No. No, because it sounds... It's got more of a raw sound. And I like that. I'm
actually,
very production-oriented.
Actually, we went on to do this. Me and Gus were... we did this in our home studios. And we said, okay, let's make it more, you know... No, it's this fantastic production is made by Fredrik Nordström up in Sweden. But then this thing starts to, you know, all bands sound the same. So we said, okay, let's do it different this time. We made the production there, we recorded with different, you know, and then we had different people do the mixing. So it sounds more raw, you know, drums are sounding more, less mixed, you know, less processed.
Exactly, and I think that's what, even though I think the songs work for me more on the Premonition, I like the production on Days, just
but
because I like the
personal
I like
opinion is that Days of Defiance has more good songs than Premonition.
Think
yeah,
so, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I'm very, I look at this as a fan, because I'm a fan of music, mm-hmm. You know. As a fan, I could find more, like, and this, and that, what's going on? I mean, when I look at the album, you know, like, when I get outside of my body and then look at the album, I say, like, whoa, too many good songs. What the hell is going on here?
For me personally, and I think Jim agrees with me to some extent, is what I found that really worked for me for Premonition songs 2 through 5, it just got in such a groove. It's like, I get in such a mood, you know, it's like, Into the Fire, it sets me up. And then, you know, I go from Head Up High, and then, you know, Mercenary cool. Man, Angels Forgive Me, Remember. I feel like, you know, I'm like, oh, yeah, my yeah, God, yeah, yeah. Toother. I'm like, this is, yeah, like, yeah. is this you're the greatest right, album in years? Right. You know, I just get in this. But with Days, it's like,
some
okay.
Songs.
It's like stagnant. Like, okay, this one works for me. Okay, all right. This one, it's, that's.
That was because we were a wee band there. We said, okay, this is what people like, and this is what people like, and this is what people like, and that, I mean, you never write on purpose, you know, you cannot do it unless you're a genius man, you know, on TV.
Right.
You never write on purpose.
Right.
You just write the music, but then you categorize it, like, okay, this is this, and this is that, and this is that. So, Days of Defiance is more like this, and that, and this, and that, and this, and that. You know, that's the thing.
But again, I like the production. I know what you mean about, I can understand
I'm a more clean and compressed guy, you know.
No, I get that. Obviously, I think Premonition has a great sound. It's clean, it's clear, and I don't dislike that. In fact, I do like that. I wish more albums would have a little more, not necessarily live in the studio feel, but less overproduction, because we get so much overproduction in music these days.
Yes.
So when I hear something like when I get Days, and the first thing I notice about Days is like, okay, I this is more raw.
Yes.
So it works for me. Like,
that's the word we had in mind. Make it raw.
And honestly, I was not expecting that from Fireland. I wouldn't expect it to have more.
That's why songs
out.
Like Embrace the Sun didn't work out that well, because they are polished songs. And the production wasn't that polished. You know what
That's
I mean?
That's true. Production can kill a song no matter how great it is.
Yeah.
It can make or break a song.
But it worked especially good for other songs, for the power metal songs, you know, like said, The World of Fire. Mm-hmm. World on Fire, I meant.
See, you know, you're thinking Annihilator. No, actually, World, I would say World and Arc of Lies are my favorite cuts on the new record.
Yeah.
I mean,
I know what's guy. What guy are you? I understand.
Oh, really? Okay. All right. you know me, huh? All right.
Now I understood.
All right, which member of KISS am I? No, I'm just kidding.
I don't know. I'm
Paul Stanley.
Oh, really?
See, you wouldn't have guessed that about me, would you? But yeah.
No, because I don't know about KISS.
okay, so we've talked about songs you do live. We talked about, you know, you got the old stuff, you got the new stuff. You've been the wee band. Okay, so now you're saying next time around, when you get to doing another record, you're saying it's going to be more varied. It's going to be... not necessarily an album full of this or an album full of that. It's going to be...
No, it's an album that, like, people are going to love it, or, you know, but they're not going to hate it, but maybe it takes more time to listen to it.
Is it something that you feel
like... I don't like to say this thing, cliché stuff. I hate cliché stuff.
Right.
But it's definitely going to be an album more interesting. Mm-hmm. That's the word.
Right.
Well, is it something that you feel like you have to do because you haven't done it before? Or
no,
is it just natural? Is it a natural progression?
We're older, we're going to do, you know.
Natural evolution as songwriters?
It's cliche, but yes, yeah. It is. You know.
Again, cliche.
Usually, you know, you get to go more mature and start writing and just like this, you know, like making more simple stuff. But this time it's the other way around. Let's play and don't care about it. You know? Mm-hmm.
You feel that... now that you've done it, is this six full? I lose track. You've done so many records. That when you're playing live, you can't walk off stage unless you play this song or that song. I mean,
I don't have this problem.
You know the problem?
Because I think we'll have a bunch of good songs. Yeah.
But see, that's even. I would think that would be even more of a problem for you, because that means, okay, there's so many more that we have to do.
You know what I mean? I don't care if we don't play Falling to Pieces. But
yeah.
Some people like to listen to the song. But, you know, in the end of the song, of the show, I'm like, oh, this is very mellow for me now. I really need I Am the Anger. You know what I mean? It's to the band, it's different. The band wants to play. I mean, you know, I Am the Anger is from the second album. Mm. Who cares? But we care. That's why we play it. And I think it's all... We never skip this song ever. Mm. You know? And a couple of more songs. But that's the thing. I want us to evolve, you know.
Yeah. Well, I think that a song like Mercenary Man, to me, I love the song. Love the song. It's typical Firewind. At the same time, you've still got a little bit of, I don't know the word you use to describe it, but...
Tribute. Mood.
It's almost like a rock song in many ways. Not even metal. It's like it's typical Firewind. Yet in many aspects, it's not even full
thing,
on metal.
You know,
and it's a video.
It's
term
of the European power metal tag that we have. You know, or it's like we carry a cross and we have to get rid of this thing.
Right.
You know, people, we are categorized and tagged always by this power metal thing. But it's not. I mean, of course, you have power metal songs, yes. But we're not power metal guys. I mean, it's only me who likes Stradivarius stuff and stuff like this.
I love Stradivarius. Well, the old stuff. The 90s stuff,
of course.
Oh, yeah, the 90s.
But we're not this band. I mean, we're not like Freedom Call, or we're not the Iron Savior. We're not like this. We have our more, you know, dark moments. We have our minor scale songs. We have our, you know, hit stuff. We have the Phrygian stuff, you know, the instrumentals. And then Mercenary Man, it's like more hard rocks. No, it, you know, you see, you cannot describe it. That's
exactly.
That's,
it's
what
like,
that's what I call a good song, you know.
It's like the guitar playing during
what is,
during verses. You know,
Hotel
like,
California. What style is this in the end? I mean,
America, they call it California rock. Because it was the kind of style that was popular in the 70s.
Right, weren't they? They were one of those bands in the 70s that was tagged as like corporate rock, weren't they? Like with Foreigner and Journey and all of that.
Well, Foreigner and Journey for sure. Absolutely, was definitely considered corporate rock. And there was like you mentioned, Hotel California. I mean, Eagles bands like Firefall and the bands that had more of like acoustic guitars in their rock music. And yeah, I mean,
but still, you know what I mean? It's not like. You listen to some other stuff and you say, oh, this is hard rock.
But unfortunately...
No, it's just good songs.
I actually agree.
Toto, what is this, rock?
Toto, fantastic band. The Four album is amazing. I mean, it was a huge hit for a reason. Great songs.
That's what I mean.
That's why,
the good songs have no genre, you know.
Right.
So Toto's corporate rock. You call them corporate rock. They're great.
They were corporate.
It's A-O-R is what it is. You know, you mentioned the power metal tag, and I feel that power metal does not always mean... the Euro stuff, like you mentioned Freedom Call,
yes.
Or even some of the Stradivarius stuff. Power metal is it's like death metal. It's like it's so wide ranging.
Yes.
You know, power metal does not mean there was American power metal in the 80s,
like,
long before the European bands.
I was in the fight when like melodic, you know, heavy metal, you know, like metal melodic, maybe with a modern approach.
If I had to label Firewind, I mean, it's like you know what? They're a melodic metal band.
Yes.
And I stress melodic because that is a huge part of your sound, are those melodies.
Yes.
Not every, some bands throw in, a, you know, maybe a catchy chorus. But with you guys, it's melodic almost straight through.
Yes.
So you're a heavy metal band with a ton of melody.
We just breathe, I think, a fresh air of something, you know. That's it.
All right, so the next album is going to be an African drumming album. All right.
Gospel Greeks.
I gotta ask you. This is not connected to Firewind. I'm just curious because I think you're the first Greek musician I've ever spoken to. Speaking as a fan, I've talked to everybody else from every other country in Europe except from Greece. Can you explain just how or why Manowar is so huge in Greece? What is it about Greece and Manowar that's
You know about this, huh?
Oh, everybody in America who knows Manowar's huge in Greece. Now, everybody...
Iceberg is also big in Greece.
Who?
Iceberg.
Exactly. Yes, they are. Absolutely. I mean, there's a reason why
it has to do because I'm inside stuff. It has to do with the personal feelings of some guys in Metal Hammer, Greece. These guys, you know, expose some bands, you know,
Metal
like... giving it.
Yep.
But there's a huge monopoly in Greece. It's only Metal Hammer. No.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, whatever they say, it's a rule. I mean, it used to be, like, in the 90s, back in the 90s, it was the only media available.
Really?
Yes.
So one magazine?
It's like Japan.
Really?
Burn Magazine, that's it.
Really?
They say,
so
buy this, and people go to buy.
Oh, wow,
yeah.
that's interesting.
But then, I think Manowar, it's this epic feeling, you know, that because Greece has all this tradition in fighting and wars. And Manowar are, you know, the macho thing that fits the Greek personality.
See, to me, that's the most obvious answer.
If you put 300, the movie, and then you just erase and the music and put Manowar, it's the perfect video clip. So, maybe.
See, I thought that would be the obvious answer, but I'm like, maybe there's something that is not so obvious about it. Why Manowar? Because why aren't other bands that do what Manowar does huge, too? I mean, Iced Earth is a little bit different, but they're huge over there. I mean, there are plenty of bands that
they were
influenced by Manowar. It's like, I wonder what it is, you know? Like,
it's this epic thing, and how can I say, you know, patriot style, you know? You know, because everybody who did it after Manowar, it's not Manowar. Manowar are the best.
Well, when you were younger, were you into Manowar as a fan before getting into a band?
I just appreciate what they've been doing all these years. I'm not a fan.
What don't you like about them? So no influence on you at all?
I don't like the music. I mean, Gus is a very big Manowar fan.
You better be.
Yeah. And I mean, that didn't touch my
own didn't work feelings. For you?
Yeah, I'm a Halloween guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, do you like the earlier speed metal stuff, like when Kai was on vocals? Like, or do you prefer...
Of course.
Because the 80s stuff for me, obviously, is...
Yes,
both
the first
albums,
and then I'm a Brainstorm guy, you know, Rage.
I like Brainstorm.
I love Hamburg scene, you know.
Do you know why I don't like Rage? And I was actually going to talk to you about Grease for a moment, but one thing that has, usually these kinds of things don't bother me with musicians, they can say or do whatever they want, but it's like with Rage, I can't help but feel that any time I put on a Rage album from the last few years, it's another excuse for him to rip on America, you know, to bash the West.
He's
got his feeling.
The whole world has feelings.
He has another project where an album was called Time to Change It, and it was like a picture of like skyscrapers, like capitalist society. He used the Nuclear Blast All Stars project that he was like, I guess the major force of.
I don't take this guy so seriously. I mean, he used to be a great.
Well, Rage has been around since the 80s. I mean, they put out great records. But
yes.
Just to me now, it's become...
Until 2000, they were a fantastic band, I think. No, just personal stuff. I used to like, I'm 90s power metal guy, and then Dream Theater fan. That's what I'm about.
Yeah.
And Annihilator.
You mentioned Stradivarius earlier. You like their old stuff?
Yes. This more influential stuff for me.
Yeah?
I got this, keyboard stuff from these guys, from Jens Johansson.
Oh, yeah.
And then the attitude, the simple... things of Timo Tolkki. But then I had the unpleasant experience of joining the band, Revolution Renaissance, the band of Timo Tolkki.
Yeah.
I recorded all the tracks on his album, but then he got crazy again, and then he committed suicide again, and then we had...
Gee, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah. Timo Tolkki, this guy. Revolution Renaissance.
Oh, yeah, we've heard it. We had it on air. Yes,
and I played the new album, I had a very unpleasant experience with this guy. He's such... He treated me like... I sent him, tons of tracks and stuff for the album, and then he just threw everything and kept a couple of solos and this. And then he didn't play the guitars in his album. The producer played them all because he got crazy. Yeah, that's all about Stradivarius. But very big love for me. And
Fourth Dimension is a great album.
Yes.
I love Fourth Dimension. That's my favorite. Visions, I think, was their
Visions,
best album.
Episode. I mean, so many good albums.
Oh, yeah.
Dream Space. This,
all
these guys.
Stuff.
These guys invented a lot of stuff that people cannot. I'm not giving them credit for.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you listen, all this Finnish scene, even him, you listen to him, but you cannot, if you read the credits, then you see that, this is in the same studio, Finnvox studio and stuff, and then this sound was made by Timo Tolkki.
Yeah.
This big drum and bass, and the distorted bass, and the big kick snare, Timo Tolkki invented this, and then give it to him. But he's got crazy and then.
You mentioned the fans. I mean, would we have Sonata Arctica without Stradivarius? Probably not.
Yeah.
I mean, listen to the first record. It's like,
yes.
Probably not. So, you personally, again, this is not band related, but you personally, all this, especially when you're in America, you're doing small clubs, how do you manage your time? Because... What's interesting is that I find that I would think that bands would have less time, personal time on small tours, because you don't have a lot of people doing your work for you. Whereas the big tours, if you're like say Gus when he's out with that old dude, you've got so many people at your beck and call taking care of things.
Actually, we have a crew that take care of everything. It's very boring actually here,
really?
And it's boring because it's raining this time. I cannot enjoy a walk, you know. I cannot go anywhere.
Do you do that on tour stops? Do you go out and see the towns you're in?
I do it. Yeah. You know, because it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience. For me, it's been like five in a lifetime experience.
Yeah, you've been waiting how many years to come to Hampton Beach, New Hampshire?
You know, I like to know what's going on, a part of the not world behind, outside of the, you know, tour bus. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes they tell me about Manchester, and I say, well, brick wall, and then you enter the backstage, and then that's my idea of Manchester, you know, in UK. Mm-hmm. And then this time around, I went, you know, I walked around the city, and then, you know, that's cool stuff. Then you do some networking, and you know, you have to update all your, you know, all 15 sites, you know, stuff like this. And then I listen to a lot of music.
So even though you're surrounded by music while on tour, you still listen on your own?
All the time.
Well, what non-metal stuff are you listening to? Like, what's on your computer, what's on your PC?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I've been listening, since the European tour, I've been listening to the new Dream Theater album. It's awesome. It's a painting of Dalí, you know, this guy, the painter. This is the album. And then I like piano stuff, like this Japanese guy, Hiruma. Playing some simple stuff, and then I like have Black Country Communion, the albums.
Okay.
I love them, and then the soundtrack of Inception. I use this to, you know, Inception. Hans Zimmer is the guy.
Oh, Hans Zimmer.
Inception,
okay.
You know, this movie, you know, the big hit.
Yes,
know,
right. Okay,
about dreaming and
gotcha.
Stuff.
Yes, yes,
fantastic.
Right.
And stuff like this. But it's only, you know, five albums I'm listening to. I'm this guy, you know, I like to listen one thing and then melts in my brain, and then the next.
You mentioned the Japanese guy. Have you ever heard the Japanese composer Tomita?
No.
Really? He was the guy who...
How do you call the name?
Tomita. He was using the keyboard back in the 70s and early 80s, doing that kind of... the kind of music that, I'm trying to think of, like the Snowflake song. When you hear somebody whistling, but there's no way I can describe it to you. But look up Tomita, because being obviously of the keyboards, check out Tomita. Very 70s, 80s sounding.
I like this.
I love it too. Like Vangelis, the composer, I love
him. Right. Oh, I forgot to tell you about this.
I love him. Oh, God, I love him. Mask is a great album. I mean, the old stuff, even Mythodia, I love him.
Yeah,
he's amazing.
Huh?
Oh, yeah.
He has goosebumps.
He is amazing. Amazing.
He has a very big, big thinking, you know.
Oh, huge.
He plays
awesome.
A note, he thinks big of this note, you know.
WSEA LP Portsmouth. Eight minutes after midnight, you're tuned to Black Knight Meditations on WSCA LP Portsmouth, 106.1 on your FM dial. My name is Mark. I am here for another, let's say about at least two more hours, spinning all different kinds of metal. You just heard Angels Forgive Me from Firewinds, the Premonition LP. Came out, what was that, 2009? Fantastic record, fantastic song, one of my favorite tunes from the band. Before that was the interview with Bob from Firewind, myself, and Top Jimmy, host of Turn It Up, Monday mornings, 10 a.m. to noontime. We were hanging out on the bus with Bob. We chatted for about 40 minutes,
yeah.
Jim, and that was a blast, man.
I really enjoyed it. Yeah, Bob was very cool. That was awesome.
Nah, he really, really was a cool guy, and very open to talking to us. I mean, he probably was thinking we'd probably talk for like 5-10 minutes, but
yeah.
40 minutes later, you know.
Yeah.
It's funny because as soon as we got up to leave, I mean, boy, he was up and like back to the bus and to the back of the bus. So I appreciate the fact that he accommodated us.
Yeah.
You know, didn't rush us out.
No.
Didn't give us the heave-ho or anything like that.
Yeah. And he definitely seemed like he was up for it, which is very cool.
Yeah, and he was a talker too.
Yeah.
There wasn't really much of a language barrier, and it was awesome. He's a nice guy. Originally, we were supposed to speak with Gus.
Right.
And because the show was originally scheduled to be in Manchester.
Yep.
Manchester.
Yeah, it was. It was supposed to be at Rocco's originally.
Right, Rocco's in Manchester. Then it got moved to Wally's in Hampton Beach. So, according to the tour manager, there were some issues with the meet and greet beforehand. So because Gus had to do the meet and greet later than expected, he was called away to do that. So
right.
we spoke with Bob instead of Gus, which initially I was a little concerned with because, you know, I had some thoughts on what we were going to discuss.
Right.
And some of it was tailor-made for Gus. I'm like, okay, I've got to adapt, but, you know, that's what you got to do.
Right.
These things happen, so I adapted it for Bob, worked out perfectly. I'm actually glad I got to talk to Bob, you know.
Yeah,
I
he mean, was a cool guy.
I don't get
fun.
To talk to too many keyboard players,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
I mean, there was Henke from Sonata Arctica. I think he's the only keyboardist I've ever interviewed up until now with Bob, so really cool. I like the non-metal discussion, you know, talking about Tomita and Vangelis.
Right.
Liked his thoughts on The Premonition and the latest record, Days of Defiance. And I got to tell you, live, those guys were awesome.
That show was unbelievable.
I mean, so good.
Yeah, I posted, obviously, some pictures and stuff on Facebook after the show. And, you know, I had some people, you know, obviously ask me what I thought, you know, and how the show was. And I was saying that, you know, for me, I know, you know, the music business is the way it is. And, you know, maybe Firewind, maybe not a huge band over here in the States like you and I believe they should be or whatever, but to me it's like seeing an arena ready band in a bar. It's like so amazing, you know what I mean? So on the one hand, where for their sake would I rather see them be more successful over here and play bigger venues? Absolutely. But as a fan, to get to see them in such a small place, I think is just it's so incredible.
Yeah, I think their sound would translate well to a large hall.
Yeah.
Hell, even an arena.
Right.
But seeing them in a club is pretty cool.
It is very cool.
Obviously more intimate, not just because of the size, but, I mean, you're just so close, and they're one of those bands that, like Bob and Gus specifically, those two guys seem to feed off the crowd.
They play to the crowd. Cool. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Bob is a multi-talented keyboard player and guitar player.
Yep.
And great musicians, all of them.
Definitely.
I mean, even the bass playing was great. Apollo's yep. vocals are pretty good. You know, I mentioned to you after the show that I was just floored at how great it was because, you know, and a band playing in a club that doesn't play over in the States too often, not very large crowd. I think we lost some people because they went to the wrong venue.
We did hear that was going on, so that's a possibility.
You know, people showing up in Manchester for a show that wasn't happening there anymore.
right.
So small turnout, but didn't matter. I think if there was any low light of the night, I don't think Mercenary Man translated very well.
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
The song, obviously, if you know Firewind, you know Mercenary Man. It's more of a rock song.
Right.
And it's something about the verses and the power chords, and it's, I don't know, it didn't translate well live like it does on disc. I mean, on the album, it's great.
Yeah.
Fantastic song.
Right.
Great song.
Definitely.
But that was the only song where I felt that, you know, it sounds a little weak.
Right.
Everything else was awesome.
Oh, absolutely.
I like the fact they played the old stuff. I don't think they played anything off the very first record, but they played pretty much songs from every other record, which is pretty cool.
Right.
You know, a lot of bands won't play songs off the old stuff. You know, especially albums that never got released in the country they're touring in.
Right.
A lot of the old stuff from Firewind, not easy to come by.
Right.
So, really happy with the set. Nice.
Yeah, it was cool.
Bob was a nice guy, and really enjoyed it. A lot
Definitely.
Of fun. A lot of fun. And
yeah, it was
love to
time.
See those guys live again.
Absolutely.